All right, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all the latest sporting matters from around the Rebel County and further afield. Plenty coming your way, including a Cork City review of that refereeing performance in Turner's Cross last night. But first, to the hurling. And earlier today, I caught up with our very own Mel Brown to chat about Cork's clash tomorrow versus Clare in Ennis. Cork take on Clare tomorrow in the Allianz Hurling League Division 1A. This one's taking place in Ennis. This one's a good appetizer for the championship coming in a month's time, Mel Brown.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, I think. It'll really, really set the pace for Cork, see where they're at. You know, haven't beaten Clare in quite a while in a competitive championship game. But you mentioned off air, they're without Shane O'Donnell. They're without Dermot Ryan, David McNerney and Peter Duggan. So I do think we have a good chance tomorrow. I won't say we're going to go out there and hammer them, but I think we could be in with a chance.
Where do you think that, where does that confidence come from? Who do you think on the team is going to drive this one forward?
Tommy O'Connell in the half-back line could be a good one. You know, Clare's half-forward line is amazing. They just run rings through everyone. Their pace is something phenomenal. And then Tommy O'Connell, Cormac O'Brien, I think they're just going to be stalwart figures in that half-back line. They're going to stand their ground. And I hope I'm right and that we won't let much through the Cork defence tomorrow.
Well, I'm looking at the Clare team here now. Well, Davy Fitzgerald listed at 10. He, in my opinion, he's actually better than O'Donnell. He's kind of central to what a lot they do. Jack O'Neill, Sean Rean in there then as well. Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure. And then I think they have a very strong full forward line, actually, though. I think that's where they could do damage against us tomorrow in Aidan McCarthy, Mark Rogers. And then, of course, Tony Kelly, who we probably know a bit too much about at this stage, given his performance in the final last year. So I think they're there for the... No, I wouldn't say there for the take. It might be a bit harsh on them. But I think this Cork team, if they're going to go on and beat Clare, I think tomorrow is the time. I think it's a great time and opportunity for us to really go down and throw a marker up against them.
Definitely. And the fact we're facing them, first round of championship in Ennis, like, we want to make the marker. We want that mental battle of, we can beat Clare. It's not a... The past doesn't matter anymore. This is a new team, new players. Like, 2025 can be Cork's year to beat not only Clare, but progress on and hopefully go one step further than they did last year.
I think they're better there than Clare. I know Clare won the final. I think it was a game Cork were unlucky in. A few refereeing decisions went their way. We can still talk about the jersey pull and a good few more decisions besides, to be quite honest about it, till the cows come home. Why Alan Connolly got a yellow card at one stage. It bugs me mind to this day, but anyway.
And you're mentioning refereeing decisions, like that game up in Páirc Uí Chaoimh in, I think it was the second round of the championship, like, Cork were just getting back into that game and Sean O'Donoghue got what was a ridiculous sending off, I thought at the time. And same with Tim O'Mahony getting a yellow. Like, Cork just don't really get the rub of green against Clare sometimes, you can say.
No, I think it was one of the Clare players. I don't know. I'm willing to mention who, because I wouldn't be that confident. But one of them, rugby tackle Shane Kingston in the middle of the park on point as well. And that wasn't copped in. Ooh, seemed to have a bit of a hoodoo over us, but I think tomorrow that's going to be broken. I think an interesting one looking at the Cork team sheet is Breen Saunderson in goal, the Middleton man, getting another start in the Cork sticks. A lot of kind of, look, let's face it, a lot of negativity around Pat Collins online the past week or so, off the back of the last game. Probably a bit unwarranted, to be quite honest about it, because I think that comes down to Pucko's strategy, and Pucko's strategy, you know, includes the whole team. That's not just down to the goalkeeper. But yeah, it will be interesting to see. Breen is definitely a lad I want to see getting experience in the goal. And he could well step up and take his chance, to be quite honest about it.
Yeah, and that's what the league is for. Seeing that panel, seeing the depth in it, seeing what can these players do. You know, there's no point in having them on the bench just for namesake. You know, this is his chance now tomorrow to prove himself. And obviously, it gives a bit of gumption for Pat Collins to prove that, no, I do deserve that number one jersey. I am the best man for Cork and goals.
It is. It's almost like Jack Rowley and Sam Prendergast in the rugby team at the moment.
He won't mention the rugby today, though.
Better not. The D4 lads will be giving out to me.
They'll be out for you.
Who else in this Cork team do you think is going to drive us forward in this hopeful win over Clare tomorrow?
We mentioned a half-back line. I think Cormac O'Brien, we saw last week, against Kilkenny, like, Micheál Mullins was fantastic. And I think Cormac O'Brien now should step up. Tommy O'Connell, he has been great throughout the league. I think they're going to be two fantastic. And then obviously you have your solid midfield of Mahoney and Fitzgibbon. Like, I think they're going to really drive it home for Cork, I hope, and play a blinder.
For Championship, like, what way are you looking at this side? Because it seems very hard to tell what way it is going to go. Like, are you bringing in Healy, or is Harnady getting the start? That's going to be a headache for Pat Ryan, albeit a good one, to be fair. I mean, who's in goal is a question as well, to be fair. Halfbacks is going to be competition. Kieran Joyce, where does he fit in and all this?
I don't envy Pat Ryan right now, but I think it's a good position for Cork hurling to be in. I think with a few years we've been playing with the same old experienced players, I think it's a good position to be in where we have those new guys knocking at the door, trying to come into the panel. I think Dermot Healy, the last two games he's had, he really solidifies his starting. I think he deserves a place in that starting 15, to be completely honest. Harnady is a great, great player. He's been some really good years for Cork, but I think he's more of a finisher these days. There's definitely, you know, when he comes on, he has the experience of Cork are up 2 points or down 2 points. When Harnady comes on, it gets the crowd going, it gets the team going. He can really just drive it forward with that. But Dermot Healy he's made an impression.
Absolutely. Getting his 1-5, of course, the last time. What did you make of that Kilkenny performance anyway? It was good to get that win. It's good to get a win over Kilkenny anytime anyway, but especially off the back of that Tipperary defeat.
Yeah, it was a needed win for the team. I felt they really came out. They showed such resilience. I think Kilkenny, it was kind of tip for tat the whole game. Like, Kilkenny go up to, we go up to. But it was just a good game. I think, again, Niall O'Leary had a fantastic game. Was he marking, was it Reid or whoever he was marking? But he had a great game. Not a ball went past him, I'd say.
Wait, he did gift the goal at one point, but I shouldn't have mentioned that now, but look, he did.
Jesus,
but apart from that, he did have a tremendous game.
Yeah, and I think he's solid enough at cornerback. You know, he's like a little terrier. Like, there's some stuff he'd be doing off the ball. Probably shouldn't mention it, but he's the type of cornerback you want on your team. Like, he's ruthless, nearly, we'll say.
And I think a stat that came out about him last year, now, look, I don't know, is it verified? I didn't go verify it myself, but many marked in last year's championship, he only gave away 5 points all championship, which, if true, is an incredible stat to have. And sure, he didn't get near an all-star win. He probably should have been nominated. He's kind of quiet type of player who goes about his business.
Definitely. What's your prediction for tomorrow then? I can nearly already tell.
Well, look, sure, I'd never back against the Cork hurlers anyway. I think we'll get the win anyway. Look, I predicted a Cork win by 7 points in the All-Ireland last year. Didn't go quite that way. Even after the first 10 minutes, I was thinking it might. But with no O'Donnell there tomorrow, I think he was the guy who brought them back into the game in that final. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a Cork win. It won't be as extravagant as 7 points, I wouldn't think. I'm caught anywhere between 2-4, but I think I'm going to go 4. I think the Rebels are going to get a good win at Clare, and hopefully that sets the tone for Championship next month. I nearly wouldn't mind. I wouldn't be too distraught if we were close and ended up on the losing side. I think that might, you know, drive us on for April. You might prefer to win, but I don't think, to be honest, it'll be the end of the world, because it's such an evolving Cork team, you know, in the league. Championship is going to be a totally different story, as we well know.
Have you anyone in particular sticking out to you?
I'm not sure, and I like, there are so many players here who are a bit under. Well, they're all kind of. I'd say there's a few players under pressure for their place, but that's a great thing. I'm not saying they're having bad performances or anything like that. I think the only mainstays and any guarantees in the team are probably Niall O'Leary, Owen Downey. At this point, Robert Downey, Dara Fitz. And that's about it, I'd say, as far as what I can see. I mean, I think everyone else could be taken in or out and maybe still fighting for that jersey here and there. But, yeah, you know, it'll be an interesting game tomorrow now, and hopefully the Rebels win. What's your prediction?
I don't think we'll be as close as the 2-4 points, but I do think we'll either draw or get that 1-2 point win, maybe. Again, like you said, a loss isn't the end of the world. We're in a good position in the league at the minute. We're not near relegation, which, you know, in the past few years we've kind of thereabouts. But I think Cork will have a good performance, and I'm going to sit in the fence and say a draw.
Lad, will you come on?
I know.
Look, you might be right. You might be right. Mel Brown, thanks so much for joining us, and hopefully the Cork Rollers get a win now tomorrow.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, best luck to all involved. We're not done yet. Rory and the Assembled Media spoke to Cork captain Rob Downey at the launch of the Cork Super Cup.
Rob, first off, I suppose a great win last Saturday night and against a tricky Kilkenny side.
Yeah, it was a great win. I think anytime you play against Kilkenny, it's going to be a tough match, and that's what we got, that's what we expected. But yeah, we were happy enough to come out the right side of things. Yeah,
it was obviously an incredibly tough week for Pat, and I suppose he's a Cork team. Just how did Pat get through the whole week, and I suppose you're all there for him, I suppose.
Yeah, it was obviously a very tough week for Pat and his family, but look, we were very conscious during the week to put in a performance that he'd be proud of and that his family would be proud of, and I don't know, hopefully we did that.
It's important to get back to winning ways, obviously, Rob, against Kilkenny, and there seems to be a lot of depth in the squad now, isn't
there? Yeah, it was important. I think, you know, as a group, we were a bit disappointed in how we played against Tipperary the week before, so yeah, it was just, we trained hard during the week leading into the Kilkenny game, and thankfully we got a performance.
And in Pat's own words, like you were saying, there's obviously a lot of improvement needed, perhaps, with the championship on the way. There's a lot of improvement in the team, yeah?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think every day we're going out training, we're trying to improve and get better. I think someone was saying there, it's only 7 weeks yesterday to the championship, so it doesn't be long coming around. So every day we go out now, it's really about maximising what we're doing on the training pitch and getting the most out of ourselves.
Are you happy with your own performance as captain, Kilkenny?
Yeah.
Individually, you look at your own performance and assess it, obviously.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it's not about me, it's about the team, really. And I think, you know, as a group, we all did well on the night.
And you were out with an injury before that. It was good, I'd imagine, to be back and up and running.
Yeah, no, I was delighted. I had just a small injury there on my hamstring, so I was out for a couple of weeks. But, you know, like anyone, you don't want to be on the sideline watching on. So I was delighted to get back and came through everything grand, so happy enough.
In terms of the league, with a league medal, is that something that stands out? Would that mean something? Or, like, is it kind of just preparation? How do you look at the league?
Yeah, of course. Look, to be honest with you, we just take each day as it comes. We're not looking too far down the tracks at all. You know, we just take each training session as it comes and each game as it comes and try win them all. So, I mean, obviously a league medal would be great, but there's a lot of hurling to be played before we get to any league final, so we'll concentrate now on the Clare game on the weekend.
You feel you're on the, I suppose you're in a good spot, you're on the right path, you feel?
Yeah, look, obviously, like, the game last weekend, you know, we did well in patches and probably did things not so great in patches as well, but, you know, it's the time of the year and we've plenty to work on and plenty of things to improve on, and we'll get down to business and do that as best we can.
And McClure, your first game in the championship as well, I suppose this weekend there'll be an element of shadow boxing, I suppose, and that team's not wanting to give too much away, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know what way they'll set up now, to be honest, yeah, but we'll just go into it like any other game and treat it like it's any other game, and you know, just put our best foot forward, and that's all we can do.
Yeah, brilliant stuff from the Cork captain, Rob Downey there. Hopefully a nice Rebels win tomorrow in Ennis. Be great to throw that marker down ahead of championship in the same ground next month. Mel Brown was there for us in Super Value Park of Keith today to see Cork Camogie get a nice win over Kilkenny in their very National Camogie League clash. Here she is again to discuss that one. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by our very own Mel Brown. Mel, you were at Super Value Park of Keith today for us. Cork Camogie team 3-17 to Kilkenny's 13 points. What did you make of that affair?
Well, we're always in for a classic when it's Cork and Kilkenny. Like, they, long before this team and long after this team, Cork and Kilkenny Camogie is just one for the ages. And today was a little bit different. I really didn't expect Cork to come out with that scoreline. I expected them to win, but not by, 13, 14 points.
Yeah, double the Kilkenny score.
Yeah, like, it's a new Kilkenny team. Tommy Shefflin mentioned that himself, but Cork just showed real determination today. Like, the first maybe 5-6 minutes Kilkenny came out, they really blitzed them. Then Orla Cathlan got that goal, settled them in. I think, was it Circa McCartan, Saoirse McCarthy? They really, like, calmed the team down. Mm-hmm. Second half, a different Cork side completely. They have scored Kilkenny 2-7 to no score in the opening 20 minutes of that second half. And the rest, we can see here in the scoreboard, was history. Like, they just really, really, really wanted to win today. I really think they want to win the league this year, and I think it's something that's quite possible. Gerard mentioned himself, they win against Tipperary in 2 weeks' time. They have a league final in their hands, so it's not a bad position to be in, really.
And do you think they will? I mean, this group seems fairly driven this year.
Yeah, we'd be hoping. There is a few injuries, as mentioned by Gerard, but Tipperary away, I think they'll get them. I don't think it'll be an easy game. Definitely won't be the same scoreline as we've seen here or against Dublin or Waterford the past few weeks, but I think Cork will just about pip them.
Hey, who are the players you got, your eye?
Orla Cathlan, I think she scored, was it 1-2, 1-3 from play. Katrina Mackey came off the bench, I think, in the 40th minute, and she got 2 points. She was outstanding. It's really good to see her back playing. Mm-hmm. Amy Lee in goals. Not a single thing went past her today. There was two or three occasions when, you know, the Kilkenny got through her defence, but she stood strong and she composed herself. She got the ball and she made a good puck out. It wasn't a puck out where it got clear to anyone anywhere. She was direct. It got to a Cork player and it actually always resulted in a score for the Cork side, excuse me. So I think Amy Lee really stood out for me today.
And then at half time, I'm looking here, it was Cork 170, Kilkenny 9 points. Like it was very close coming into the half. What was it in the second half, do you think, that changed?
I think Cork just came out with the mental strength. They know they can beat this Kilkenny team. You know, they made no changes. There was no coming off the bench until the 40th minute. I think they just kind of turned it on. Like Katrina Mackey and number 23, I think Emma Murphy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, they came on. Emma Murphy was on the pitch less than a minute and she got a point. Number 10, I've gotten her name now, Saoirse McCarthy. You can correct me again.
Yeah,
she got 2-2, I think, in the second half or something. She was outstanding. They just dominated all over the field. It seemed like there was two Cork players for every one in that second half. Kilkenny kind of did drop the ball, but it was just Cork's determination and perseverance really got them through.
Speaking to everyone after, speaking to Jarwell, what did he make of the proceedings?
He was very happy. You know, he's really trying to get a good mix of players. He's the new and the older, more experienced players. He said, you know, they're not going to show their full hand in the league, but I think he's happy with how the team is progressing. And obviously, Libby Coppinger is injured and there was someone else out from the panel this week. But in 2 weeks' time, he'll have a good 26, 27 players that, you know, come championship, there will be high competition for places on that team.
Yeah, there's always high competition for places in that Cork Camogie side. And as mentioned, Mel caught up with Cork boss Ger Manley after the game.
So Ger, you must be a happy man again today, 3 from 3.
Yeah, good start, I suppose. Look, we set our target for the first three matches. We know we 2 at home, and I suppose Dublin as well. So we set our style out there, started there. If we go into 3, we have an opportunity against Tipperary or Galway. If we win one of them, we have a chance to get into the final.
Yeah, and you spoke earlier in the season about setting the tone. Like this match definitely came out. I think you had a score, Kilkenny 2-7 to no score in the second half there. Like that is...
Yeah, I suppose, look, the first half, Kilkenny, to give them their credit, I thought Kilkenny were very good, well up for it. I suppose, look, you're not going to be 100% every day, but to give our girls their credit, I thought they responded well after our time.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You can see the bit of experience they had, and they used the ball better. And look, Kilkenny, I thought, were excellent the first half, and we're probably a bit unlucky not to get one or two more scores. Had a couple of goal chances, but I think you could see as we were getting on in the game, we were getting that bit better. Some of the more experienced players were very good in the second half.
Yeah, you mentioned those experienced players. I think Katrina Mackey came on, she scored a point within her first 5-6 minutes on the pitch. Like,
yeah, she's been injured since the Ireland final.
Yeah.
Got a very bad injury, and she's back training herself a bit, and then back with us the last 3 or 4 weeks. And the first touch was a point, I think. She got 2, I think, finished up with.
Yeah.
And it's great to have her back. Look, we have Clina Healy, probably, hopefully back next week. Amy O'Connor shouldn't be too far away, another match or two. Aoife Healy, we left out today. She's just playing both. Maybe Coppinger's a broken finger. She should be back for the tip game. So, look, it's just to give Gerald's game. We have Calam's our first game.
Yeah.
And just give her back into it. Like, they're all getting back into it. So, look, we lost Izzy O'Regan there during the week. Huge. That's a lovely, brilliant player. Did her crew shit. But, look, we just have to get on with it.
Definitely. And, like I said, the depth in that squad, like I say, training is like matching itself, I'd say now.
Yeah, we're a bit leggy now in the first 10 or 15 minutes, but we're probably we're in a hard block of training at the moment. And I suppose, look, we didn't do purposely or anything, we just set out our style. I suppose that we do a couple of hard weeks in the first few games, just get the girls up to it. And definitely Kilkenny were that bit sharper than us early on. But once we got back in, like, they went 3 points up, could have been 4 or 5. We had a couple of goal chances, or Lachlan got a brilliant goal, and I suppose after that, then look, we started to settle down a bit and got into it. But we were a bit leggy, and I thought they were excellent in the first half, Kilkenny. And look, they have a very young team, Kilkenny, so I think they'll be there, thereabouts, come championship time.
Was there anything in particular said in the dressing room at half time? He came out like a different team.
Not really. They're very focused, the girls. Will we been happy the first half? Probably not, but look, we're never happy, and the girls are never happy. Jesus, they're so focused, the group. Like, they push themselves. You probably see that from where they're playing, top each other on the field. I suppose, look, to train a team like this or manage a team, you would be happy, but some of the girls are playing so well, you know. Marge McCartan, Orla Callan, Claudia Finn, I thought was very good. Kate Wall got a couple of great scores. And look, the squad is strong. We're just hoping we don't get many more injuries, which happens. Look, lots of teams have injuries, but I think after half time, it just showed, like, we lifted the pace for 10 or 15 minutes and more or less won the game then.
And finally, Gerard, Tipper away in 2 weeks. I know you got beaten with 3 points last year in the league.
Yeah, Tipper are definitely one of the best teams there. They've been there, thereabouts. We find it very hard with them every year. They beat us in the league. We're up in the rag, which is a tough place to play. And we're there in the championship as well. So look, it's a good game for us. We win, we're in a final. If they win, they're still with a chance. We've another chance. But Galway are very good as well. Look, and I think Kilkenny give them their credit. They'll be there thereabouts as well. I think Waterford won as well today. So look, it is a great league, and we're just hoping to get to the final.
Mel also caught up with the Kilkenny boss, Tommy Shefflin.
Okay, strong start in the game, but obviously just ran away from me. What do you think contributed to that?
The group we have, after getting two beatings already, so we just look for a bit of reaction today, and we got that in the first 15 to 20 minutes, in fairness to them. So I know, listen, as I said, in fairness to Cork, Cork are good, even the half time we're looking at the positions for Cork, I seen Thompson, Laura Tracy, Laura Hayes on ball, they won 12 or 13 possessions each, that's the quality player, and them girls are well seasoned and they've been around the block a long time, so we've a lot of new girls in too, so it's just going to take time, but you learn from these experiences as well, so
yeah. And you mentioned the fresh legs, you're finding it hard to balance kind of the squad depth there, kind of getting the experienced players in while trying to get a run of the new legs, or
I know it's just, listen, we're just trying to give girls a go, there's a lot of new to this thing, are they able to play at this level, so listen, it's learning experience for them too, so we just have to remain positive, and tis still only March, and we just have to look forward, park this now, and just learn lessons for it. But the most important thing for us, our point of view, is to keep the girls but positive, as I said, the league is the league, and we know we're not going to win it or anything like that, so it's important that we try and stay in the league, but just build towards the Leinster Championship then, and then see how we go in the Ireland series. So. Mm-hmm.
And you're at home to Waterford next week, am I correct?
In 2 weeks' time.
How are you preparing for that, or is it kind of take the week off and get the
we'll train as normal, and we just get together next Saturday and do a bit of game on ourselves and give girls a chance, and whoever is going well, and we'll just look at the team for the following week. We'll probably have to try and get one or two results now over the next two games, and try. This is important, for Kilkenny, for the girls especially, to stay in this division, and they'll learn and get experience from playing the likes of Cork and Galway, so that helps in their development too. So it's important for ourselves to try and stay in 1A,
Well, best of luck with the rest of the league.
All right, that's everything from the park. The ref's whistle has gone for half time. Come back to us in the second, where myself and Rory O'Hagan will be dissecting Cork City's draw with Sligo Rovers last night. Don't go anywhere.
The Big Red Bench. With the Big Red Bench.
Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here in Cork's Good Times. Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour or so. Cork City had a good performance last night in Turner's Cross, but unfortunately came away with only a draw. To chat about it, I caught up with the Big Red Benches and Cork City commentator, Rory O'Hagan. Well, we're delighted to be joined by our very own Rory O'Hagan. Rory, you were, as always, at the Cork City match last night in Turner's Cross. A 1-1 draw against Sligo Rovers, the only Rovers in town. But, it's 2 points dropped, really, isn't it? And it's not even coming from our performance, it's coming from... You don't like saying it, but a very poor refereeing performance, to be fair about it.
There's so much breakdown in this game, but you're right, you need to be winning your home games, especially against the Sligo Rovers team, who will be there kind of around your level come the end of the season, you'd imagine. We'll start with the positives last night. I suppose the performances of Benny Couto and Milan Mbeng really stood out last night. I thought Couto was excellent up and down the left flank. I thought Mbeng at centre-half looked absolutely fantastic. He could be a shout at right back or even right wing. He made some marauding runs. He seems to be very good with both his feet. Likes getting forward, likes putting his head up to see what's ahead of him. He looks like an absolute cracking player. So looking forward to seeing more of him in the coming weeks. And Couto is just an absolute diamond. He needs some protection in front of him, though. Malik Dykstra doesn't track back maybe as much as you'd like, and it does leave Couto exposed sometimes. And then Couto himself likes to get forward, and there's no one slotting back in, and that leaves gaps then down City's left-hand side. But look, they looked absolutely fantastic. Kit Nelson took a nice goal last night. It was a lot of pressure from Cork City. And it's like... It's impossible to talk about this game without talking about the performance of the referee. Now, look, I'm loath to criticise referees. They have an incredibly tough job. I don't think I could be a referee. I have many friends who are referees. They say it's tough. And refereeing at the high level, the highest level in this country, it's got to be even tougher than that. But there's no getting away from the fact, Dan, I suppose, that the referee got a number of decisions wrong last night. And this isn't just, I think, you and I being biased Cork City fans.
Oh, no.
I think if you're looking at this kind of objectively, you're thinking to yourself, right, the disallowed goal decision is wrong. I can't see anything there. At one point in the second half, he gave a free kick for Sligo Rovers from a corner because the Sligo Rovers player backed into his own goalkeeper.
You just kind of have to laugh in a sense, like, is that, yeah, those
you're
two
just
are ridiculous.
You're shaking your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, is this the best that's there? And then I think he got the penalty decision or the non-penalty decision right in the first half.
But everything to go against City, kind of basically, though, still, you know. He got it right that it was outside the box, but like...
it was outside the box, yeah. And then Rory Keating was fouled when he was clean through and goal at the edge of the box. Rory Keating probably took a little bit too much over that. He seems to be kind of, I suppose, not at his best as of yet. Look, understandable considering the last couple of weeks for the Keating family. I'm not going to criticise Rory Keating. But the handball incidents, Dan. First off, we have to talk about the one by John Mahon, who dived low to his left and pulled off a fantastic one-handed save. The problem with that is he's a centre-half, not a goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
You can look, just to play devil's advocate a little bit, you could argue the referee is unsighted. The assistant referee on the near side could be unsighted as well. But it's just frustrating when such a blatant incident like that occurs in the game, where if the handball is given, then it's a red card and you get a penalty. It just changes the entire game. There was another one as well, Rory Keating. Just tried to play the ball in. Came off the hand of Hutchinson, which was out, Dan, wasn't it? It wasn't by his side. It was at an unnatural angle. It was out, and it caused the ball to...
Out of all of them, I can probably forgive that one, to be honest.
I'm not entirely sure about that. And then, it was just... It's just one thing after another. Look, and again, don't want to be criticising referees, but look, the referee got a number of those decisions wrong. Tim Clancy wasn't on the touchline last night because he was shown two yellow cards for criticising the referee after Monday's game, and the two yellow cards handed out to Anderson, and the second of which was just for an absolute blatant dive. The referee bought it hook, line and sinker and was sent off because of that, which was unfortunate because I thought Anderson was settling into that centre-half role. He looks composed and calm, and he might find it hard to get back into the team now given the performance of Milan and Beng last night. The only thing he did get right was the red card last night for Reynolds, who was on the pitch for what, 90 seconds? Absolutely half Malik Dykstra for no reason whatsoever. Dykstra crashing into the advertising hoardings. He left Turner's Cross limping with Dykstra on his leg. He could be out for a while. The referee got that one right. But it's just... It's frustrating. It's very, very frustrating in that if Cork City get one of those decisions, then they go on and win the game. They pick up all 3 points. And you're saying this is a good start to the season. You've got two wins and a draw from four games. Now you've got a win and two draws from four games, which isn't terrible at the start of the Premier Division campaign. But it's frustration, I think, is the key word from last night, Dan.
We still have that game in hand because Shamrock ran away from us two weeks ago, whatever it was. But look, we'll hopefully, every fan thinks that's a guaranteed 3 points to the table in their own brain somehow in a bit, but we'll live and hope on that front. I guess from the game and from the team in general, I feel like we're a bit threadbare now if there's no Greg Bulger, who's been just a Rolls-Royce of a player for us for... whenever he's in a City shirt, really, but even this year, especially in a kind of young team or a team gelling together like that. And no Maguire as well now, no O'Sullivan. You know, there's a lot of young guys probably going to be in this Cork City team now the next few weeks, and I probably do wonder, are we going to struggle?
Yeah, you notice that right on the bench last night. It's like not a, a lot of, I suppose, big game players with a lot of experience on the bench last night. Maguire could be out for a number of weeks with his hamstring. Not entirely sure how long Bulger will be out for. Hopefully it won't be as long. Cathal Sullivan looks like he could be back in the next week or so. I spoke to him on Monday at the launch of the Cork Super Cup, which was very generously described in the press release as the first competitive men's game to be played at Super Valley Park, Equive. I spoke to him on Monday. He said, he's not too far off it. And Tim Clancy sat in the press conference as well, just ahead of the game. So, look, you're right. Like, it is looking a bit threadbare, but you still have quality players in that Cork City team. Like, Rio Shipson last night, Dan, I thought was excellent. I thought it was the best game he played for Cork City last night. He looks like an absolutely cracking player, like, just box-to-box midfielder. Fantastic delivery from a dead ball. That was getting up and down the pitch as well. You still have Charlie Lyons, who, look, is a very, very solid centre-half. Kit Nelson looked decent last night. Harry Skeeter's actually looked decent enough when he came on last night. I imagine he'll get a run on the team now if Malik Dyke still is facing a lengthy spell in the sidelines. But you're looking back in that game last night, and they're like, the goal that Cork City conceded was absolutely preventable. Plays the ball out to the right hand side, and it's a fantastic ball in fairness by Lintott. But Dyke still needs to be doing more to come over and put pressure on him to prevent that cross from happening. And then it's a fantastic header by Owen Elding, son of former Cork City striker Anthony, of course. Anthony, a Sligo Rovers legend himself, won the cup for them in 2013 with a goal in the FA Cup, the winner. And he just got in between the two centre halves and he put a beautiful header over Truth. Couldn't get to what I thought was an absolutely fantastic goal, but it's poor from a Cork City perspective. Cork City, to be fair, fought back. They got their equaliser, but when Sligo went down to 10, Dan, City didn't seem to have
That seemed to kill us almost. Yeah, like, we were pushing for that equaliser. Once we kind of got it and Rovers got the man sent off, it was kind of just, there wasn't that sense of urgency they even had in the build-up before that.
Yeah, they were probably doing better against 11 because there was that urgency. They were pushing forward, they're pinning Sligo Rovers back. And like, I suppose when Reynolds comes on, then like the game was getting very niggly at the point where Conor Reynolds came on, and the atmosphere was very heightened, and he was obviously hyped up as well, and he goes in and he clatters Dyke Steele. And I spoke to John Russell afterwards. He said, look, he's not a dirty player, he's a young player, he made a rash decision, and he had to pay for it. But then after that, it just seemed to suck the atmosphere a little bit out of the place, because there was a bit of a delay. And then Cork City, with that extra man, didn't seem to know how to deal with it. Sligo Rovers sat back into two banks of four, very close to each other, and just said, right, City, what do you have here? What can you do here to find the gap and cut through us? And that's very hard to break down when you've got that low block employed. And then Cork City just weren't spreading the ball wide, and they weren't trying to get the ball into the box. And you're thinking to yourself, they're running out of ideas here, maybe running out of legs. But look, overall, I suppose, four games in, you're thinking, look, it's not a bad start to the season. Bit of luck went against them against Waterford on Monday with that red card. And then just definitely didn't have any luck last night.
But that seems to be our case every time in Premier Division. You look back to relegation season 23, there was not one bit of luck that went their way all that season either.
What I will say about this team compared to 23 is, like, this Cork City team is massively entertaining. They're trying to get the ball forward. They play the game the right way. They are very, very well coached by Tim Clancy and Jamie Hamill. And there's a fight in this team. And the new players that have come in seem to have settled in quite well. So it's going to be... I'm not going to say it's going to be a relegation scrap for City, because I hope it's not. I think there might be enough quality in that team to stay up and stay up comfortably. Just need to start to have things going for us, get the likes of Shawnee and Bulger and Cathal Sullivan back fit, and you've got a very, very decent team there. But look, another tough game to come next week. Shelburne, we all know that rivalry between Cork City and Shelburne up at Tallaght Park should be very, very intense. Shelburne surprisingly beaten last night, so they'll want to come out and correct that, and they'll come out all guns blazing. And look, I suppose a very busy kind of period for Cork City as well, with that game on Monday. So I can't wait to watch that game in Talca Park next week and see how City got on, because that's going to be a real litmus test, and it'll be a big test, I suppose, to see where the City team are.
I do think we are good enough to go down. I hope so anyway. As long as we can keep Keith and Shawnee relatively injury free. I think the biggest difference between 2023 and now is the quality of our signings coming from England and in being from France, and even Troost as a goalkeeper. I think our signings that have come into the group are far, far superior. Look, I don't think there's any fear of them listening to the likes of Kravchuk or Stanley Vicious. Do you know what I mean?
So. Yeah, but look, you know, when you bring in signings from abroad, it's always a little bit of a gamble. Like, you know, like you've seen highlight videos of them and you bring them in going like they could be decent, and then they get here and they're not. Like, you know, it just seems to have worked out with this crop of players. I mean, like Benny Couto, if he keeps playing the way he is, he could be playing at a decent level in England in the next couple of years, only 21 years of age, I think. And certainly gets up and down that left side, and he's certainly kind of developing into a fan's favourite as well. I mean, like Cork City fans love players who give their all, and I think Couto certainly does that, and I think he's going to be very, very popular at Turner's Cross this year. He's very popular as it is anyway. But yeah, you're right with the signings that have come in. You look at the players that came in that started, like Milan and Beng, Troost, Alex Nolan, Kit Nelson, Benny Couto, Rio Shipston. That's the guts of an entire team there. I mean, like, it's I suppose from last year, there's the amount of players that left and the amount of players that came in, you always think it's going to take time for them to gel, but it looks like that they've gelled quite quickly, and they seem to have a good understanding, and they seem to be all playing for each other as well, which is fantastic to see.
Yeah, it's great to see. Against Shells, what way do you see the team lining up there, if you're taking all injuries into consideration? It's Keats on his own up top, or you putting Nolan in? I mean, it's going to be a tough one now for Tim Clancy and Jamie Hamill.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's going to be fairly similar to last night's team, of course. Anderson comes back available for selection. You'd wonder then, does that mean that Lennon Beng will get deployed maybe on the right-hand side, just above Crowley? Maybe he comes in for Crowley, or maybe he starts at centre-half again next to Charlie Lyons, and Anderson has to try and find his way back into that team. If Dyke seals out, you'd imagine Skeeters is going to come in. And yeah, hopefully you get Greg Bulger back. Sean Murray had a big job on him last night, trying to emulate Greg Bulger, but they're slightly different players. And I suppose no one can replace Greg Bulger. I mean, like, he's got all that vast experience, and even at 36 years of age, like, he was man of the match a couple of weeks ago for City, covered every blade of grass. He was absolutely fantastic. And I spoke to him, was it last week or the week before? The week before, or just before Shamrock Rovers, and he said he wants to play every minute. He said he's fit enough to play every minute. He did it all in pre-season, but it's just, I suppose, about managing his minutes, and hopefully this niggle sorted and he'll be back. But this team, I suppose, massively similar to last night, and hopefully we won't be talking about a referee after the game next Friday night then.
Hopefully not, or if we are, everything went in our favour. You know what I mean? You don't mind if we are, but everything went our way. Like the Rovers fans last night claiming he was their man of the match. So I take that in Talca now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I saw that in the Rovers fans online, right? They have a bit of a sense of humour about it, and fair play to them. They kind of recognise it as well. But look, one of those nights, Dan, you chalk it down, you move on. You can't get too hung up on it. You've got to move on. Like the chat I had with Jamie Hamill, he was very honest in his description of the referee. He was very clear, very calm. Just said, look, the referee got a couple of things wrong, in their opinion. And he spoke very, very well, very, very calmly on the matter. And look, Tim Clancy, obviously watching above in the stands last night, it was frustrating for him to be up there. But I think when Jamie Hamill's on the sideline, I think you're going to be okay as well in Clancy's absence, you know.
What did Jamie say to you last night? We'll play out the audio now in a sec, but what did you make of what he said?
He was just frustrated, Dan. It's very understandable that you'd be frustrated considering what you had seen there. He kind of outlined the decisions that he felt that the referee got wrong, and he was very calm about it, very composed. Wasn't angry, he was just pointing out very matter-of-factly. But he just says, look, they're going to have to pick themselves up, move on, and just get on with it, I suppose. I mean, like, the good thing is they're straight back in action now again next Friday night, so they just get it out of the system, they recover today, and then back into the training during the week, get ready for Shelburne, and hopefully beat Shelburne, because Cork City fans don't like Shelburne.
No, there's a huge rivalry there. We should bring a big away crowd. Lastly, the prediction on that one, what way do you see it going?
keep it tight. Like, I think realistically, Dan, you take a point up to Shelbourne, you take a point up to Selkirk Park, take a point up to the champions. But the Cork City fan of me wants us to beat them 7-0.
Well, look, we'll hope that's the case. The referee, I think we'll need the referee to be helping us in that one. Rory, thanks so much for joining me here, and I appreciate it, mate.
All right, pal.
And after the game, as mentioned, Rory caught up with Cork City's Jamie Hamill.
Jamie, that was certainly an incident packed 90 minutes of football. What are your immediate thoughts afterwards?
That's nothing but disappointed to come away with a point there. It probably should have been 3. You look at the key moments in the game, I think we probably 3 or 4 penalties decisions that probably went the wrong way. The disallowed goal, I'm still baffled to this day, like why it's been chopped off. But listen, I think across the board we're just looking at a wee bit of consistency, especially the referees. It's vital for clubs like ourselves, that especially a night like this, that we're fighting for lives, especially at home, to go and try and get 3 points. And listen, I think the referee has probably done his bit, maybe scoring 4 or 5 goals there.
Is it frustrating that when Sligo Rovers went down to 10, you didn't really capitalise?
Yeah, listen, I think the boys were excellent. When you look at the players we've got missing at the minute as well, probably 6 or 7 real first-team players with real experience in them as well. So, listen, I thought the boys handled the occasion really, really well. The thing for me is we're disappointed we've not come away from the game with 3 points. And listen, it's probably not good enough for the kind of referees side of it, but listen, we've just got to keep chipping away, and hopefully the decisions like that, maybe next week against Shells, will actually go for us, because it's just not good enough, to be honest with
you. It was a very rash challenge on Malik Dykes deal. We saw him limp out here with ice attached to his leg. Is he okay?
I'll just say him again, it's early, and we'll just have to kind of get him in tomorrow and make sure he's okay. And the thing as well, with the tackle, you've got the advertising boards and concrete and stuff like that next to it as well. So listen, I'm not here to talk about red cards and stuff like that as well. It's a tackle made in the game, probably as a red card, but listen, I'm not really getting involved in that stuff.
You mentioned a number of decisions that went against your side tonight. The disallowed goal in the first half was a big moment.
Yeah, as it's key moments in the games. Let's not get away from that. Like, we've looked at it back and 3 or 4 times, and the defender's in front of the goalkeeper, and Charlie maybe puts his arm there, but he's not actually put it in the goalkeeper's chest or his face or anything like that. So, listen, I think that's one. I don't know why it's been disallowed, to be honest with you. And I think you hear kind of people there coming back in for the opposition saying, I can't believe the referee's decisions tonight, to be honest with you.
If you look at some of the positives tonight, Kit Nelson took a nice goal, and he's certainly settling into this team now.
Yeah, he is. Kit's obviously still a young player. Lots to learn. He's obviously on loan from Preston. He's got great attitude. He's always working hard. So, as I say, it's good for him to get his goal and got off the mark. But, listen, I thought the boys were excellent. And it could have been quite easily tonight. We could have felt sorry for ourselves, especially with the injuries and suspensions and stuff like that as well. But listen, the boys in that dressing room are gutted, and we're gutted in there as well. And listen, we can only take positives from it. The referee's decisions, we can't really kind of look at them and just go keep kind of yapping on at them. They've got consistency levels across the board. I think that's what you're looking for. And listen, there's 3 or 4 stone walls.
And next up, it's the champions, Shelbourne, to come talk apart next week. Another massive game, but they're all big games in the Premier Division.
Yes, listen, obviously we came up from the First Division last year, and we were the big team in the First Division, and you look at the other teams in here, they're all big teams. And it's a good thing as well that I think every team now is full-time in the league as well, so that makes it even more difficult. And listen, Shell's champions last year, and rightly so, they probably deserved it towards the end. But listen, it's going to be a tough game for us. We'll be going there with a depleted squad again. But listen, we'll go there and we'll go try and put on a show, and hopefully we can go get 3 points up there. But I think it's always going to be a difficult place.
And there's a big rivalry between Cork City and Shelbourne as well, which adds to the spice, I suppose.
Yeah, it does, obviously. And listen, we'll go prepare as we always do, regardless if you're playing against Kerry or whatever. We'll make sure the boys are prepared as best as we can throughout the week. We do our homework tonight. Me and the gaffer will be away kind of watching videos to 3 in the morning and stuff like that as well. So listen, our work never stops, even tomorrow with recovery. The same again Sunday, we were watching Shell's game and that as well. So listen, we're always hard working, and when you're full time, you never get a minute, especially the gaffer's phone, always on the phone and speaking to different people as well. So it's hard work, but listen, it's rewarding as well when, when the players go and put in performances like that as well tonight. It's that makes it worth the while as well.
Thanks, Jimmy.
No worries, thank you.
Well, from football to horse racing now, and Shetland fever is upon us. You might want to get the pen and paper out for this one. As during the week, I caught up with Mark Costello, the editor of horse racing newspaper, The Irish Field, to chat through the festival with plenty of tips in here. So as I said, you might want to take note, but enjoy.
Well, we're delighted to be joined with Mark Costello of The Irish Field. Well, Mark, how are you keeping it?
Very good, thanks, Dan.
That's the stuff. Well, look, hopefully you're going to find plenty of winners here now today. A banker for the Shetland Festival, who are you putting your money on?
I'm looking for horses that like good ground next week. I think it's going to dry up a little bit. And one that caught my eye is a horse called Galvin, trained by Gordon Elliott, and he runs in the cross-country race on Wednesday. He was ran the Grand National. He's been placed in that. He's won around Cheltenham before. As I said, he loves good ground. Been rested all winter with this race in mind. Probably capable of running in some of the better races. In fact, you know, he's well capable of running in the Gold Cup with some credit. But they're aiming at a much easier race, the cross-country race. 4-1, not too bad. I think that's the bet for me Wednesday.
Especially Elliot would know the cross-country race fairly well known as well.
Sure, Tiger Roll won it. I don't know how many times Tiger Roll won it. Every time he has a strong team. Delta Walk won it a couple of times as well. So he always has great horses for the cross-country race. You won't go too far wrong with Gordon Elliot. He probably has a few other runners in the race as well. But I think Galvin is definitely his number one.
If we go kind of a day-by-day thing, I don't know if you might be able to bring it off the top of your head. The Tuesday, where should punters be looking on the Tuesday?
Everyone's looking at the Champion Hurdle on Tuesday. It's just been a great race now. You know, picking the winner of it, we'll come round to it. But it's going to be a hell of a spectacle. It's a 4 o'clock race on Tuesday, Champion Hurdle. You've got Constitution Hill, who's never lost a race. And you've got the Brighter Days Ahead, which is owned by Michael O'Leary of Ryanair. And she's won all her races this season and looks absolutely fantastic. The next Dawn Run, everyone says. And then you've got last year's winner, State Man, who's almost unconsidered, even though he's won about 15 of these races in the past. So they're three brilliant horses on Tuesday. Look, let's be patriotic and hope that, again, Gordon Elliott might win that one with Brighter Days Ahead. It'll be very hard to beat Constitution Hill and all. The real farm experts are saying, you know, you're not going to beat the champion. But she's got a great old chance, and it would bring down the house, I think, if Brighter Days Ahead won the Champion Hurdle.
On Wednesday?
Wednesday, as I said, outside the Champion Chase, outside of the cross country race, the big race is clearly the Champion Chase. The favourite is John Bonn in that. He's never won at the Cheltenham Festival, but he always runs very, very well, and kind of a weaker field this year. So John Bonn, hard to beat on Wednesday in the Champion Chase. There's a lot of short price favourites next week, and probably John Bonn is one of the best of the week.
Thursday?
I have a little funny one for you on Thursday, and would you believe it's Gordon Elliott again? He's going to have a good week, so if you remember nothing else in this interview, back Gordon Elliott all week, and it'll come right for you eventually, okay? Gordon Elliott has the favourite in the Stairs Hurdle, right? Or it's called T-Hup Who, and he won the Stairs Hurdle last year. But he won't like the drying ground as much. So I'm going to go for another one of Gordon's horses called The Wall Park, won by JP McManus. And he does like dry ground, and he's up and coming. And I think he could surprise them all and come flying at the finish. 12-1, The Wall Park on Thursday in the Stairs Hurdle.
Lastly, on the Friday,
right, the big race is the Gold Cup, and you have to watch this if you have any interest in racing, because Galopin Deschamps, trained by Willie Mullins, is going for his third Gold Cup in a row. This is Arkell territory. Like, only a handful of horses have ever done this, won three Gold Cups. Best Mate did it about 25 years ago. And since then, we've had a couple of horses like Cato Star, who managed to win it twice. But to win it three times will be something special. Galopin Deschamps is odds on. He's about 4-7. So that's probably too short for most people. But definitely watch that race. But if you're looking to have a bet, I will say in the Triumph Hurdle, let's go for a horse trained by Gavin Cromwell called Hello Neighbour. I think it's the first race. Maybe it's the second race on Tuesday. Triumph Hurdle. Hello Neighbour is about 5-6-1, trained by Gavin Cromwell.
Each way value for the week, no, you listed out people, yeah, or horses there. Is anywhere people should be looking, do you think?
Well, definitely do a place pot, right? This is a bet that the tote offer. You can do it in any betting shop as well, where you have to find a placed horse in every race. And I'm sure it'll be explained, I won't go through it now, but if you can find a placed horse in every race, and you can do it for as little as 50 cents or a euro, you can spend a fortune on it, depending on how many horses you want to include. It's a great bet, and you can get a big payout if you can pull that off each day. So I would definitely encourage people to try that. One each way bet I like is a horse called Impose Toi. It's trained by Nicky Henderson. He runs in the Coral Cup on Wednesday. I think he's about 10 to 1. And he's just won again. That's been put away all winter, kept for this one race in mind. Owned by JP McManus, who's going to have a very good week again. Probably wins 6-7 races over there. His green and gold colours. Watch out for those during the week. Impose Toi, trained by Nicky Henderson, who also has John Bond the same day. And Nicky Henderson had a disaster last year. Had to withdraw all his horses. They were sick. I'd say Impose Toi is going to be one of his best chances of the week.
Is your horse out there, do you think, that's going to break Punter's Hearts this year? There always is.
Well, I think there's always one the sharp prices gets beat. And I'd be against T-Hub Who earlier. But there is another one on Tuesday that's trained by Willie Mullins. And it's in hot favour called Madgeborough. And he's by far the most outstanding, the clear form choice in a race called the Arkle Chase. Madgeborough, he won at Cheltenham last year as well. He's about 2-1 on favourite. Just have a sinking feeling that it's too good to be true. He hit a few fences in Leopardstown when he won most recently. And if he does that again in Cheltenham, I think he could be in trouble. So I'm against Madgeborough. Maybe he's not one to put in all those multiple bets of all the short price favourites next week, because there's always one or two let you down. Go for bigger prices, I think. There's loads of value there next week.
How should punters approach the week? Should they, you know, there's a lot of stuff Tuesday, you know, people be riding high or maybe feeling low, but there's a long week there. It's a real slog.
Well, I was just reading an article in the Irish Field written by one of our top writers called Rory DeLargy, and people will know him. He does an awful lot of work in media, and he's highly respected on social media as well. And he said, what I suppose we all know in our heads when you follow racing, the Tuesday and Wednesday in Cheltenham are much easier to find winners. There's usually smaller fields, but Thursday's fields are huge and it's impossible. And Friday doesn't get much better. So, you know, I would say if you're going to have any kind of lumpy bets, maybe look at the Tuesday and Wednesday. Some of those sharp price favourites do tend to win. Willie Mullins will probably have 2 or 3 on Tuesday and another couple on Wednesday. But after that, I would say take back a little bit. Don't try to approach Thursday full of confidence that you have the game cracked. Thursday tends to be a nightmare day to try and find winners. They're 33-1, 66-1. The weather can sometimes change during the week, and it gets tricky. And then Friday, it's the set. Apart from you've got maybe Galloping the Champ, who looks a hot favourite. A lot of the other races too are wide, wide open. So I'd say go for the big bets in early in the week, and play cool the last couple of days, but definitely just try something like the play spot to keep an interest in it. You know, it's easy to say you don't need to have a bet in every race, but I do that myself. It's hard to let a race go because I feel it's like the Olympics and you have to have a bet in every race, even if it's only a few quid. And I tend, my policy is often to start with the outsiders, have 2 or 3 euro on 5 or 6 of them around 25-33-1 horses that I've been spotting all winter that I think are being underestimated, maybe because they're not trained by Willie Mullins or they're not owned by JP McManus, and then cover, you know, 1 or 2 of the more fancied ones as well, and usually turning into the straight, I've got a couple on my side still giving me a fighting chance.
That's good. Why do you think the festival captures the imagination of the public in general?
Well, I'd say I would have answered that question a few years ago and said, well, it's Ireland versus England, isn't it? But like in recent years, Ireland are just wiping the floor with them, so it's not even a contest anymore. You know, there'll be 28 races in Cheltenham. Ireland will win 18 at the least, and probably 20, 21 of them. And Irish punters don't care. We actually, you're better off now looking for an English horse to back, because they're actually better prices. And Irish punters don't mind a winner. Don't mind an English trained winner if they have a few quid in it. But I think it's so special because we do see all the best horses coming together at Cheltenham. And so we finally find out who the champions are. And it just, you know, it's just such a big occasion. It's a fantastic, because the atmosphere is unlike, and the jockeys will say the same thing, it's unlike any other race meeting. Like, if you have a winner at Cheltenham, that's going to stand to your record till the day you die. You know, I'd be writing about people in the Irish field after a lifetime of racing when they retire, or if they pass away, and it's always like, did they ever have a winner at Cheltenham? That's what they're remembered by. That's what people remember. The legacy of having a winner at Cheltenham, whether you ride it, whether you train it, whether you own it, that stands to you as one of the all-time greats. You've joined the best of the best. So that's the reason why I think it's just so special.
A race that's certainly going to be very special is the first race. at Cheltenham. Can you talk us through why that's going to be now so special?
Yeah, so in fairness to Sky Bet, they've renamed the first race at Cheltenham on Tuesday has been renamed. The sponsors have allowed it to be renamed the Michael O'Sullivan Supreme Novices Hurdle in memory of the 25-year-old jockey from Cork who died just recently after a very bad fall in Thurles and made national headlines. And he was a very special person. He won that race. He only broke onto the scene a few years ago, and he had he won that first race at Cheltenham on a horse called Marine Nationale. It was an incredible display of coolness in the saddle, and amazingly, just an hour or two later, he won a second race at Cheltenham. And so it was unheard of for a jockey to come on the scene so young and to win two races like that on one of the biggest days of the year. And he impressed everybody, not just with his skill, but also in the way he conducted himself as well. He struck me as somebody who was going to be a future star of the future. And for him to lose his life in a freak accident, it just there's no words to describe the shock it caused across the entire industry. And there's a huge outpouring of sympathy for his family, who are a fantastic racing family. The O'Sullivans, they're just outside Mallow, and they have a long association with racing and with Cheltenham, and many of their of Michael's his family, his extended family, are involved in the sport as well. And it's heartbreaking for them, and we hope that maybe he'll be remembered by everybody at Cheltenham as well. And that on certainly on Tuesday, when the flag goes up for the first race at, I think it's 20 past one, we'll all be thinking of Michael and remembering the great achievements he pulled off in that very short time frame he had.
Brilliant stuff. Does Willie Mullins have more winners than the entire UK combined?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we're looking at probably 8 or 9 English winners. They've been improving recently in recent years, they have a decent old team again this year. I'd say they'll have at least 8, maybe 10 winners during the week, and Willie Mullins' maximum was 10 winners. He'd need everything to go right for him, I think, to have 10 winners, so he'll probably just come up maybe with 7 or 8. So if that's a match bet, I'd probably just go with the home team that will probably just outscore him on that. But certainly I think Willie will probably be champion trainer, but as I've said already, Gordon Illy is going to have a very big week, and his horses will be priced much more attractively than Willie Mullins' horses. So I think follow Elliot for the week, and you'll definitely collect a few quid.
Hope you got all those Cheltenham tips written down. If not, you can find the podcast of the show on the Big Red Bench Spotify in about a half hour's time. That's all we have time for here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey signing off. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.